Hey guys, it's Anna from Talkative. I am so excited to have finally found a coffee that doesn't leave me feeling jittery or overstimulated, and that's Pure Cure. Pure Cure is different from your average coffee company. They don't use artificial flavorings to mask a low-quality coffee. Instead, they have unique artisan roasts that showcase the full flavor of their coffee beans. I particularly love their signature blend, which is a take on amaretto, and you should check them out too. That's Pure Cure, P-U-R-C-U-R, coffee.com.
This is SR1.
Talkative. Magazine on air.
I hope it doesn't show. It'll go away. It's just a passing phase. It'll go away.
You can't dress nautical. Learn to tie knots.
Welcome, welcome to Talkative Magazine on Air. Thanks for joining us this Sunday evening. And Emily, how's it going?
It's pretty good.
I just feel like if I could have any job in the world, like, I don't think this is a job, but if I could have a job,
okay,
it would be to just make playlists for people.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel every week when we get to choose our intro, outro songs, we get to do a little DJing and I enjoy that.
I love it. Yeah, that song, Angst in My Pants, that's the song, Angst in My Pants by Sparks. That is from the Valley Girl soundtrack, if you didn't know. The original Valley Girl, of course,
right.
From 1983.
I forgot they remade that.
They remade it. That's what I totally forgot that too. They remade it in 2020, I think. And
was there anybody in that?
Logan Paul was in it. Oh, Alicia Silverstone.
She played
the older Julie. She played the Julie character.
Oh, funny.
That's kind of fun. And Deborah Foreman actually makes an appearance as Shop Girl.
Weird.
I don't know. But yeah, so there's, I don't know, maybe some faces you might recognize. I don't recognize the name as I Google, but the original from 1983, of course, has Nicolas Cage and Deborah Foreman.
Yes.
So, and E.G. Daly, voice yes. of
Tommy Pickles.
Tommy Pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yep, from Rugrats, which is more our generation than Valley Girl was.
A little more your generation.
Yeah,
but I caught the tail end.
Well, you know what?
We've made mix CDs for each other in the past,
yep.
And I love giving my mix CDs themes.
Yes.
Because I like the constraint. I like being creative within constraints. So I made you, you know, Smooch's album where every song had the word kiss in the title. And I like having fun hunting for that and things with themes like that, for example. And yeah, the playlist concept, making playlists, it's so fun.
It is fun. It's funny. I only ever did themed mix CDs because you started doing them.
Oh.
But my instinct was always just literally anything. I always just found it so difficult to find new music that I liked. And it didn't have to be new, but just new to me.
Right.
And so I would just find anything that was relevant or that I was giving a shot at the time and I'd throw it on a mix CD. And now those are just playlists, which don't have the same little sparkle to them for me.
Know.
But I do still enjoy making playlists. And speaking of playlists, you can find all the songs we put in our show. In our playlist, we have a show playlist that you can binge at any time. Do you binge songs? I don't think you binge them.
What do you even mean by that?
You can listen to the whole playlist. You can just like play.
Do I binge songs?
No, me? I mean like, is that what you call it if you're going to listen to a bunch of songs?
I'm going to say no.
No, I'm going to say no too. I don't have a better word for it. But you can jam out.
Yeah.
And you can find the link to that in our bio on Instagram at Talkative Radio. So what's going on in headlines this week? Let's check in.
Well, in local news, let's just start with some local news that I just found out a moment ago.
Okay.
Via a group chat that you were in.
Oh,
and that is the Antique Mall on Big Bend. Oh my gosh, you guys. So I love antiquing. It gives me like a new like a new inspiration, just going into an antique mall, smelling all the old smells.
I agree.
And just getting to imagine what these items were once used for and by whom and all the fun stuff and how
someone
much
buying them new and thinking, you know, and it's like, wow.
I love just, it. I really love it. But there's this antique mall. There's two side by side. There's Treasure Isles and Big Bend Antiques. Well, apparently Big Bend Antiques just closed.
Yeah.
I drive this by this every single day of my life, and I didn't realize that it closed.
Yeah, I didn't know until I saw it in a Facebook post.
Yeah, and Treasure Isles is taking it over and opening a Treasure Isles too. So there's still going to be two antique malls right next to each other, but the one closed and is getting taken over by the other. And I'm sure NBD, that's cool, that's fine. They're both, it's like, it's still there. But it kind of just, it's sad. I don't like watching things close.
I know. I'm kind of curious about the history of what happened there because they have different feels. If you are a big, you know, antique mall, you know, thrifty person, then you know, like, which ones have good stuff for what kinds of purposes. Some are better at furniture. Some are better at knickknacks, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, some have vinyls that you want. For me, Treasure Isles was always the knick-knacky kind of place, and Big Bend Antiques was, it was a tongue twister, so maybe that's why they went out of business. Big Bend Antiques was more like furniture and cohesive collections of things,
right,
and art, and honestly, just pricier things in general.
Right, but the displays were always a little more thoughtful because it was furniture heavy, so
yeah.
I agree exactly with what you said.
I'm kind of curious, though, if that means that when they take over the second location, Treasure Isles, if they're going to just act like it's an expansion of the current store or if they're going to make it feel different, like, oh, this is the one you go into if you want more furniture things and this is the one you go into if you want whatever.
I'm not sure because at the same time, antique malls are furnished by individual sellers that have booths. So what are you going to do? Kick everyone out of that and then ask them to re-rent a booth? Or are you just taking it over and they're living there as they were, the sellers, their booths? So it might not actually change at all, except the owners, I guess. I don't really know what that entails.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
If it really means anything at all in this case.
Maybe not. I'm sure I think they're set to open the second location in June. I think it's like June 1st, maybe even.
Yeah.
So we'll go check it out, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So I saw a headline this week that just blew my mind a little bit. Well, what blew my mind was actually the way it was stated. Flubber actress Marcia Gay Harden. I just thought flubber actress was the funniest way you could characterize somebody. Which Flubber was that really goofy movie with Robin Williams from the 90s about the like gelatin man.
I don't remember the movie itself. Like, I remember the name of it. And honestly, I associate it in my head side by side with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, same era.
Yeah.
Well, and Flubber was funny because they made actual flubber you could buy in the store, you know, like slime kind of thing, like Nickelodeon kind of slime thing. Anyway, Marcia Gay Harden was in the news because she said at a Drag Isn't Dangerous telethon, quote, "My children are all queer. My eldest child is non-binary. My son is gay. My youngest is fluid."
What? My youngest is flubber?
Yeah. My youngest is made of Gaxblat.
Yeah.
No. But in case you're wondering, the odds of that happening, if you look, even if, you know, at just plain percentages of, you know, what percentage of the population is LGBTQIA++.
Mm-hmm. All that.
Like, the odds of this happening are astronomically small.
Yeah, even if you believe that everyone who claims to have some sort of, you know, different gender identity or different type of sexual identity, even if you believe that all those claims are 100% true, sincere, honest, you can't honestly believe that one person birthed four kids or whatever that all have something.
Her oldest child, Eulala, is 25. It's a girl. She goes by they, them. So that's one. Hudson and Julita are twins. They're 19. And Hudson is gay and Julita is fluid, meaning like she's attracted to boys and girls, which, you know, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the odds of this are, but very small. And it just makes me think, no one's talking about the fact that this is a social contagion, mm-hmm. that this is for clout, that there's some kind of social aspect to this and some kind of
pressure into it.
Yes, like, exactly. Like
influence
into exactly. It. Like there could be any influence outside of nature running right. its course. And it's like, well, here we are. Anyway, in weirder, sad news, I don't know. People are very torn about this and I want to get your thoughts on it. So right now, everywhere you're looking, Taylor Swift is in the news. Something about the Eras Tour. You mm-hmm. know, it's if it's the kind of makeup she's wearing or her costume changes or whatever, the list goes on and on. But recently at one of her concerts, fans surprised her with photos of like on posters of her deceased grandmother, Marjorie.
What?
Because she has a song named Marjorie, called Marjorie, after her grandma. And so her fans came with these posters, and there's a video of this on the internet. You can watch Taylor come out and react to these photos, and people are like, that is so sweet. They wanted to commemorate her grandmother for her, that they were, you know, just they wanted to, you know, show their support and love for Taylor.
That's strange.
I feel like it's worse than strange.
It's kind of an assault.
Exactly. Yes. And I don't use that word lightly, right. But can you imagine being just emotionally bombed with that when you're number one on stage performing and not expecting that anyway? And then it's just so personal. It's just, you know, and there's photos of her grandma on the internet. Like they can find these photos. She's spoken openly about the fact that the song was written about her grandmother, who apparently wanted to be, I think, an opera singer. So she had like dreams of, you know, stardom that she never got to live. And so Taylor wrote this song supposedly about that and then performed it live. And it was, you know, this big, you know, honor her grandmother. But
is there any coverage on it that is calling them out as it being unusual or
comments? It's funny, on the video that I saw, a lot of comments were agreeing with what we're saying, which is that, you know, like, oh, this is really
inappropriate.
It feels like it's for clout. It feels like it's for attention, and people are just trying to one up each other. And this was the latest in a string of, you know, how do we get Taylor to notice us? Mm-hmm. Kind of stunts. But people are then responding to that saying this comment section does not pass the vibe check. You know, people are, you know, this is sweet, and people are too sensitive. They clearly were doing this because they love Taylor, and they, you know, and I'm sorry.
I just think it's funny that the first thing you say as an example as a comeback is something that's like all slang.
Yeah,
because it just kind of goes to show there's the thoughtful audience that's saying this seems inappropriate, this seems like a bit of an assault, mm-hmm. this seems like you're just trying to get her attention without considering the repercussions, and then the people that are like, no, this is fine, are people who aren't speaking in plain English and
right.
using words that are timeless, but rather they can only communicate in what is fed to them right now in modern slang. And
agreed.
I know that's just a really paraphrased example that you just said.
Sure.
But that was just my thought.
No, I mean, I saw that and I thought, oh, and she, you can see her mouth on stage, something along the lines of like, oh my God, like, why are you doing this to me? You know, and I think she's saying it like, you know, playfully,
sure.
kind of. Like, she's playing it off. It's not like she broke down in tears on stage, but I mean, it's a sensitive thing for somebody, you know, and I just don't think that was an appropriate thing to do. There's a lot that I feel like, okay, you're a celebrity. You've opened yourself up to this. You've opened yourself up to being in the public eye and the things that come with that. And that's a price for being famous and mm-hmm. having the level of success you have. But I also feel like, God, at the end of the day, they're still just people. Like, let them have their private sentimental moments.
The Jonas Brothers finally released their album. It came out on Friday, May 12th.
That's right.
The album titled The Album.
Right.
That one. I have not listened to it yet.
I haven't either.
I've only heard the two singles, Waffle House and
Wings.
And we talked about Wings a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
But I've yet to listen to it. We'll have to listen to it on vacation.
I know, leaving tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Late
so
tonight.
We'll maybe give y'all a review because our next episode will be
live from Destin.
Yeah.
So we'll be sitting on the beach having a great old time. Well, if you throw back to last summer, all of the news was about this Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. And since then, crickets about Amber Heard. Like, what happened to her?
You're going to tell us.
I am going to tell you. Tell us. Yes. So apparently, it was up in the air whether she was going to reprise her role as Princess Mara in Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. And after a trailer was shown at Comic-Con, it appears she is, in fact, going to be in the second movie. If you missed all the Johnny Depp Amber Heard drama, then you might have missed the fact that she lost her case against him. She was alleging that he abused her and that he was abusive during their relationship, like verbally and emotionally, and I think also physically. But there was no evidence that that happened. She perjured herself on the stand like so many times. And I just think, wow, you ruined his career. He has no affiliation with his Pirates of the Caribbean franchise anymore. They've removed his likeness at all the Disney locations and yada yada. And yet you're still allowed to continue your D-list career. That was her 2 minutes of fame and she blew it on that case. And now it's like, well, here you go. Here, you can have your bit part in this Aquaman movie. But I think it's kind of crap that she got to keep her role and Johnny Depp lost all of his accolades.
Do you think that is a product of female privilege or just coincidence?
I think women are allowed to get away with a lot of things that men could never.
Yep. Stick around and we'll be talking about this famous actor who regrets their name change and this beauty queen turned actress who just can't seem to stay out of the news.
SR1 Sundays. Genevieve, where's Dior? Talkative.
Margaret, where's Trezor?
Magazine on air.
Mary Jo, where's Lorraine? But you don't wear no perfume. Deborah, where's Clinique? Marianne, where's Mystique? Judith, where's Chalamar? But you don't wear no perfume. That's why I won't spend my life with
Well, you may be wondering, that's a lot of sparks, isn't it?
Nobody's wondering that. Nobody noticed.
I don't know. They're pretty unique sounding. Back-to-back sparks, I would take note.
Those were decades apart, though.
That's fair. However, here's another decades apart sparks little tidbit. Apparently, we're not the only Sparks fans. You know who else is a Sparks fan? Cate Blanchett.
Oh.
And here's a fun fact. So, in Paris last year at the Caesar Awards, Sparks met Cate Blanchett because she came into their dressing room and introduced herself and was like, I am such a big fan. And so they hit it off and they were like, wow, this is so cool. Then they were getting ready this year to release a song called The Girl is Crying in Her Latte. And they were ready to film a video for this. And they were like, who do we need for the video? So they reached out to Cate Blanchett and they asked her to be in this video. And she agreed. So just this year, Sparks released a song with Cate Blanchett in the music video.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to a little bit. I have not heard this song yet. I've not played it.
Tears. What? A girl cries in her latte?
The girl is crying in her latte is the name of the song.
Relatable. Like, no, right? Really, though.
Yeah. And we're going to play that. Chat about it a little bit.
Is it due to the rain? Or is she in some pain? She looks physically fine. Guess it's something benign. The girl is crying in her latte, yeah. The girl is crying in her latte, sad. The girl is crying in her latte, wow. The girl is crying in her latte, bad. Now she's leaving the place.
Okay, well, that's amusing.
Yeah, that, I mean, okay, so we watched the video while the song played, and I will say it's distracting. The intro is very loud, and
oh my gosh, I'm sorry. No. The video's still
but,
going.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just Cate Blanchett in this like brightly yellow colored suit dancing like a goof
with
a
headphones on, while Sparks is in the background on. Like, just singing.
This
her.
Song is definitely more akin to Perfume, which was the one that let us in. So, Perfume came out in 2006, you know, and then this came out, obviously, now. So, still almost 20 years apart, but
they've moved this direction.
Yeah, this is the direction they moved in, whereas Angst in My Pants was, you know, new wave era, 1982 or so. So
this is more like techno.
Yeah, I prefer the older sound, for sure.
Electronica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl is crying in her latte, sad. The girl is
is crying in her latte. Wow. The girl is crying in her latte. Bad. Every day.
Well, yeah, that. Not as much of a fan of that, but I will say Kate Blanchett looks real cute, like yeah. goofy dancing
well,
around.
Cute is one word, yeah. She yeah, quirky for sure. Super I'm sure quirky. Living her dream, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it looks like a workout what she's doing. So go check it out.
So Emilio Estevez, he is getting ready to re-release the film The Way, which originally came out in 2010. I had never heard of it.
No,
I don't
me
know
either.
Much about it. But The Way was directed by Emilio Estevez, and he co-starred in it alongside his dad, Martin Sheen. So he was on a talk show discussing this re-release. And then
Emilio
was. Okay. Yeah, Emilio was on this talk show discussing the re-release of The Way. And getting into the history of like his name, because obviously Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez, father, son, but different names. So, Ethan, if you could play this clip, I just found it interesting, his perspective and insight from his dad.
So I initially, when I started out as an actor and auditioning, really, because that's really what that headshot was for, was yeah. to be able to use something to get in the door and audition. And I didn't get in many doors. and I thought that using the name Sheen would help. And so at the time, my dad said, don't make the mistake that I did. Mm. Don't change your name. Because back in the day, 1958, he changed his name from Ramon Estevez to Martin Sheen because at the time, there was a lot of prejudice against people with the Hispanic name. Yeah. Years later, in 1967, my grandfather, Francisco, to whom I dedicate the movie to, came to see him on Broadway when he was doing The Subject is Roses. He stood outside of the theater and looked up at the marquee, and my dad saw him shake his head just in disappointment. Oh. And so he never got over that. And so I think when it was time for me to sort of start making those moves and start, you know, getting out and doing auditions, he said, man, he said, if I had one thing to do over, he says, I never would have changed my name.
Oh.
Now, he never did it legally.
Yeah.
So he's still, you know, he on his passport, on his driver's license, it still says Ramon Estevez. But on screen, it's Martin Sheen. However, this is the first movie that he actually has, because he's credited as an executive producer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as executive producer, it says Ramon Gerard.
Oh, my that gosh. Is
so cool. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know that they were related.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea.
Oh,
but
wow.
I'm not. I mean, I know Emilio essentially from
Breakfast Club. And that's the only thing
and
I know.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't really have any, you know, association with Martin Sheen. So I guess I just never knew that. But man, I just... Yeah, that would stick with me, too. I understand the, you know, feeling of being ashamed and, you know, letting down your parents and, you know.
Well,
I think that's so cool, though, that he's giving his dad that opportunity to do it the way he wishes he would have done it the first time.
And I think it's really interesting because he is reflecting on, yeah, in the 50s, a Hispanic name wasn't going to be taken as well, you
mm-hmm.
know? And nowadays, it's funny because people strive to be as different as can be and want that minority sound in their
yep.
name and in their life, and they'll do what they can to get it. I know so many people over the last several years in my life that I knew their name to be whatever first and last name they had, and then they go in on Facebook and add their Hispanic middle name and second Hispanic last name and things like that, and they do that later in life because now it's... You could say celebrated, but also I feel like it's a clout thing. I feel like people get you get more positive attention in a way that they
Definitely.
Want some people to drill it and be like, by the way, I know you can't tell because I look like anybody on the street, but I want you to know I'm Hispanic because I just want you to know that, by the way.
And I do agree with that take. I feel a little jaded by it in some sense, but I also... To just play the other side here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point I feel like maybe it's just a pride thing being able to come into, you know, your actual birth name. I mean, I hated my whole name growing up. I thought Anastasia was really pretentious and long, and you know, I'd get so angry in grade school when people would call me Anastasia. But yeah, but I don't mind it now. You know, I mean, nobody
really
nobody calls me Anastasia. I still like make a face when they do, but but I don't have, you know, I'm not gonna beat you up in the playground over it. Like,
but I wonder, no, like if it's their birth name, like by all means, yeah, it's great to feel comfortable with it. But I wonder how many people are like, no, it's not technically my birth name, but I'm throwing it in there as to give.
Oh, well, that's
putting it
too
on my Facebook page as my second last name now, so people know. That's the impression I was getting from it, you know.
And that's probably true to some extent. I think it's all part and parcel of, you know, why we throw our pronouns, why we throw our whatever, yeah, like why we have to have all these identifiers that make us specific and intersectional.
Is that an
intersectional?
People want the intersectionality,
they
right?
Do.
And
yes,
and to be viewed as unique as possible, or as, you know, adjacent to a minority as possible if they're not blatantly a minority. So
yeah, you certainly can't be just white anymore.
No. So even if it's authentic, it's still just kind of, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way sometimes, because it's something that they grasped later when it was more trendy. But it's just interesting to the contrast, you know, of what Martin mm-hmm. Sheen chose to do and what people are choosing to do now, the exact opposite, really.
So it's no secret that I think that most modern music is
talking to.
A name that you might not be familiar with, Doja Cat. She's been top of the charts in the past few years as a pop, hip hop kind of crossover.
I know. She helped, like, oh, what was it? She helped solidify the slang, yeah.
Oh, great. Wow, what a credit.
I hate that.
Well, she might hate it too. So, well, here's a tweet that she put out in the past week. Planet Her and Hot Pink, and as a side note here, those are the names of her last two albums. Planet Her and Hot Pink were cash grabs, and y'all fell for it. Now I can go disappear somewhere and touch grass with my loved ones on an island while y'all weep for mediocre pop.
What?
Yeah, so out of nowhere, she drops this tweet. And listen, I don't care about Doja Cat, but I thought this was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And her fans are losing their minds because they are offended, for one. They're like, what are you talking about, you know, mediocre pop? And they're defending her music that she's come out and said was crap. She's like, this is not worth the time it takes to listen to it. Don't, you know, but you guys bought it and you made me really, really rich for it. So, you know, whoops on you. And then other people are coming to her defense, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, and saying, no, like, don't feel insecure about what you released. You know, I can see how this would feel, you know, in the world where, you know, everyone's just moving on to the next thing before you have time to process what just came out. You know, it can feel like nothing matters and like what you produced was not great. But no, you contributed and these were great albums.
That's hilarious.
I think that's so funny.
It's really embarrassing though, on, you know, to American audiences. Like, that's really embarrassing.
It is. I mean, but why is she any different? Why is what she put out any different than the majority of the rest of the things that are top of the charts? You know, turn on the radio, you're going to hear like 17 songs that sound the exact same, and they're going to be played on every single station.
Yeah.
You know, with the rap part cut out on one and the, you know, whatever. I thought it was funny. I thought it was really funny that she had the guts to just come out and say that. And people are like, don't quit music. And she's like, I mean, I hope she played them. I hope she takes a step back and is like, gets to live her life in a nice, cushy, you know, house and not have to worry about a thing because she made a lot of money pulling the blinds over people's eyes.
I guess, but it's so embarrassing. Like, I just hope that maybe people learn from that, you know.
Learn taste
or just learn to be a little more analytical or
discerning.
Thoughtful and discerning about what they're listening to. I don't know, but.
Yeah. Well, I know we had teased some news about a pageant queen and getting in the news, but the woman that we're talking about is Priyanka Chopra Jonas. And she's been in the headlines lately. Here's the headline that I saw had something to do with wealthy, entitled woman claims trauma from Simpsons character, essentially.
Okay.
So I dug into this because I'm like, what's going on here? Okay, what are we talking about? Here's what's actually going on. Priyanka was in this Vogue series that they did where basically they have a celebrity on and they have them scroll their Instagram feed and just click on a couple of pictures, a few pictures, and describe what was going on in their lives at that moment, why okay. this was a significant post for them, like, and not a significant post, but like a significant photo, why they were commemorating this moment.
Yeah.
So, cute idea. So, Priyanka's sitting there and she scrolls through, and one of the pictures on her timeline is this picture of her Simpsonized, you know, as like a Simpsons character okay. in her wedding dress. And basically,
she posted that.
She posted it.
Yeah.
And she says, this is kind of ironic to see me as a Simpsons character, you know, because Apu was the bane of my life. And because he perpetuated this stereotype that all Indians speak with this really heavy accent, and people would ask me, why don't you sound like that? And she kind of blows it off. You know, she's not legitimately complaining about it, okay. just kind of making a, you know, comment about like, this is not what all Indian people sound like. It's been kind of blown out of proportion in my mind by conservative news outlets about her being, you know, whiny while she's so privileged. And yeah, I think it was just a comment about her being, you know, disenchanted with the Indian portrayal on The Simpsons.
Which, and I think that's valid.
Is valid enough. But on the other side of that, she has a very heavy accent. So I'm not really sure why she's like, people were always like, why don't you sound like that? And I'm thinking, but you do speak with a very, very pronounced Indian accent.
Yeah.
I actually saw a clip of her talking about when she gets in fights with her husband, Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
Her Indian slips out more. She'll get more
difficult to understand.
Yes. And he'll have to stop her and like face her towards the wall. And like, when you're ready to talk, like,
oh my
you
gosh. Know, you
calm down and we can talk. Cause so I can't understand you.
So she teases about that. Like she openly. Yes. So then, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's fair to like be upset by a stereotype. I get sure. that. That's fair. But at the same time, yeah, like you just said, she has an accent anyway. Like that's right. not even the incorrect part of the stereotype of that Simpsons character. It's not the no. accent is accurate.
To some level.
To some know? Level, right. of course. Yeah. But
yeah. I just thought it was funny. And I don't think that it was all that the headlines cracked it up to be.
Well, when we get back, we will talk a little bit more about the pageant side of Priyanka, as well as some pageant history here in St. Louis that I found to be really interesting. So stick around.
Magazine on air. Talkative. Magazine on air.
Hello, welcome back. I know you guys have been waiting for this moment. Well, I know we have. We are going to be reviewing the album by the Jonas Brothers. This was the brand new album release last week. And we have listened to this pretty thoroughly, both Anna and I individually, and chatted about it a bit already.
Yes.
We have some thoughts. So,
I feel like, just to start out, right, like, we have been fans of the Jonas Brothers for a very long time. So I feel like we're in a fair spot to be critics because we're not coming from a place of, oh, boy bands, meh.
Right. No. We're coming from a place of support and excitement, but not blind. We're not blind here.
No.
I've had my criticisms for a while when it made sense to criticize.
Yes. This is tamped down excitement. Yeah. This is cautious excitement because, well, like we've said before, they've been known to be sellouts. So, you know, when we hear that they're releasing a new album and they have the gall to call it the album, that's a pretty high bar. And did the album live up to the title?
Well, of course it didn't.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, no.
You can't live up to that title. But
no, I think that was pretty gutsy, and I don't think it was warranted. So here's why. To be frank, we talked about Wings as one of the singles that came out a few weeks ago, and one of our first commentaries on that song in particular was that it was very, very short.
Mm-hmm.
It was not even 3 minutes long, and it felt like there were really no verses, and it kind of just got to the point almost like it was made for TikTok to be on a trending reel or something like that. And
yeah, so the album is a total of 12 songs and the entire runtime is 32 minutes and 51 seconds. So this is under 3 minutes for every song.
This is bingeable.
This is bingeable. Under 3 minutes for every song. Look, I like the album. At the end of the day, I do like it, but my first impression wasn't the best. And I feel that they aren't trying very hard and they aren't taking themselves very seriously. And they're just trying to crank something out.
That's what it felt like. It felt like, hey, we know that you guys were so excited 4 years ago when we announced that we were back together and we released Happiness Begins after our breakup, and you thought we were never getting back together. And you guys were like, oh my God, brothers, that they're fighting and they can't even get along to be in the band anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, we're back. And now they're like, okay, well, we did that. What else can we do to keep you hooked? And the answer is, we're going to come out with an album that's pandering to the TikTok generation and not to our core fans.
Right.
So,
right. So, and that's what it is. It's pandering not to the core fans. They're abandoning us.
Or on the flip side of that, or maybe they think that we all feel like we're getting old, and how do we keep ourselves young and hip? We keep our audience thinking that they're cool and hip by having songs that they appreciate that are now on trending TikTok.
Yeah, maybe that too.
And that's what it felt like to me. And I know I keep harping on that. And as a listener, you might be like, what the heck does she even mean? What I mean is that on TikTok, there's always audio clips that are trending that are, you know, one single clip from one song or one video that people recycle and reuse on every single piece of content that they make for a solid couple of weeks, month, whatever. And there's many of these floating around at a time. But when artists, and I know this is a thing, because when Madonna even, and I know we talked about her and how she went off the deep end,
yeah,
but she just had a song, a terrible song, come out a few months ago that was suddenly everywhere on TikTok. And you're thinking, well, what, you know, Gen Zer cares about Madonna? And the answer is none of them, except that they got duped into thinking that this song she released was something that came out from somebody in their generation. And so now Madonna is all of a sudden relevant again. And people that listened to her back in the 80s are like, why? And people that are in Gen Z don't even realize what they're listening to. So it's lose-lose, really. I know it feels like win-win to the artists when they have a wider audience, but you lose all the credibility and the artistry.
And look, I know pop as a genre has never been the most artistic. And I know that we all love a catchy hook or a chorus that gets you to dance and sing along. I know that there's a bit of a science to it and you just want to enjoy what you're listening to when you're dealing with pop. But I think it's really saying something when you have zero trust that your audience has an attention span to listen to a full 3 minute song. Like, we can do that. Okay. We can do that. If it's a good song, guess what? We're going to want to listen to 3 minutes, maybe even four. Your job is to make it a good song so that we want to, not to just cut it short.
Well, you know? And that's the thing. And you said it, you know, you're like, oh, pop's not known for being particularly artistic. But no, even people that just want something bubblegum pop, no one wants to feel like they're dumb, you know?
Right.
And this is not just, you know, fluff club music. This is not, you know, this is an album with lyrics that
are
supposed to be meaningful.
Did you say it's an album?
I'm sorry. This is the album. Yeah, I punch me for even having to clarify. See, and that's another annoying thing. Like,
it's hard to talk about.
It's hard to talk about because what album? Oh, you know, the album. No, the album.
Okay. Got it. I'll never think about that again.
Yeah, it's annoying. But I just felt like, okay, when I listened to the album, my first reaction was, there are two songs on this album that people are going to be talking about, and they're for totally different reasons. The first was Summer in the Hamptons, and that song, if you haven't given it a listen yet, spoiler alert, there's not much to it, like everything else on this album. But the chorus is one line. It's literally sex like summer in the Hamptons, and they repeat that about 800 times. Mm-hmm. And if you think, well, that's not very imaginative, that doesn't really paint a picture, you'd be right. And you'd also be right in thinking, oh my God, but the Jonas Brothers, like, they're adults now. They say the word sex in their songs. And they just shock factor you with it the whole song, and it's kind of out of nowhere, and it's not very it's not appreciated by me anyway.
And it's not even catchy. Like, it just feels like they're doing it just for the shock value, or just to prove that they're older, or it doesn't seem like there's a good reason for it.
No, it doesn't. It's like, okay, I get it. You guys are all married. You're adults. We know. But you don't have to hit us over the head with it. I don't know. And the other song that I thought people would be talking about is a song called Little Bird. And this is one of the only songs in the album that has any gravity to it at all. Mm-hmm. And it's very sweet. It's a sweet song. I actually really like this one. It's a live recording, which is, you know, the album recording. And it's a song basically to the boy's daughters. And the sentiment is basically, you are, you know, my little girl for now. But someday, if I do my job right, you are going to find a man that is going to love and take care of you, and I won't be there, you know. So stay my little girl for now, but, like, you know, think of me when you grow up.
It's very sweet and very sentimental.
But it also just felt like in the middle of this album that it was another gotcha moment.
Exactly.
It didn't feel sincere, unfortunately, because the song itself is very sweet, and as a standalone song, I wouldn't have thought twice. But it just felt like, oh, I'm going to put you in the middle of all these TikTok audios, and then we're going to have one sentimental song so that you don't forget that we're guys with hearts, and that's the talking point.
Exactly. It's just trying to, hook you with that sentimental thing. It doesn't feel sincere with the way that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
There's two songs on this album with the word summer in it, Summer in the Hamptons that you just mentioned, and then Summer Baby. There's also a song called Vacation Eyes, which says the word summer in it. Obviously, they paint a vacation summery picture. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is just trying to, let's release an album right at the beginning of summer that's all about summer. And we've got your summer soundtrack, guys. Buy this. It just feels like calculated. And it doesn't have to bother me, but it does, because it's just so in line with this sellout attitude that the boys keep giving.
Yep. And I've said this before, but I just feel like, in particular, Nick has become such a businessman instead of a musical artist and a musician and a lyricist. And it just bothers me because it feels like, God, you don't even have to think about it to see all the marketing in this. You don't even have to think about it to see how they played this in every way they could to make it trend. And it's like, guys, you have a very, very loyal fan base and a built-in audience already. You could have released anything you wanted, and you did this.
Yeah, you could have released anything, because you are underestimating your audience. If you had released something that was more artistic or had some more bold personal choices, you will have an audience that's ready to accept that.
I know. And to be honest, I thought their album, their 2019 album, Happiness Begins, made a lot more of those kind of decisions.
I agree.
And I know when that album came out. So each of the brothers is married. If you don't know a lot about the family, Kevin's the oldest. He's married to Danielle. He got married to her. She's not a celebrity. He saw her on a beach when they were on vacation before they were really, really huge. Mm-hmm. And they've been married for a very long time now, when he was in his mid-20s. Joe is the middle, and he is married to Sophie Turner. She was an actress from Game of Thrones. They've been together for several years. They have two kids. Sorry, Kevin and Danielle also have two daughters. Joe and Sophie, I believe, have two children.
I think
children.
They do.
Is it a boy and a girl, or two girls?
I know it's definitely at least one girl, yes. But I'm not sure if it's two or a boy.
I think maybe they have a son also, but they've been extremely private about their kids, so it's not info that's readily available. And then Nick is the youngest of the three, and he is married to Priyanka Chopra Jonas, who was a big deal Indian Bollywood star.
We talked about her last week.
Yep, and they've got a daughter. So that's their family rundown. But where was I going with? Oh, I know where I was going with that. Happiness Begins, in 2019, when they released that album, there was a song on there that was basically written from Joe to Sophie that was very sweet and sounded almost like inside lingo that they had for each other. It sounded personal, and like, as the audience member, you may not even quite understand what he's saying, but you know that Sophie understands it. And there was a similar song from Nick to Priyanka, and that was very sweet. That was thoughtful and heartfelt and personal, and it didn't really matter that you didn't understand exactly what the sentiment was. You know, the one song Joe wrote for Sophie was
Hesitate.
The lyric is I won't hesitate for you, and it just
paints a picture. It seems so personal to their relationship, and it's sweet, like you said. Now this new album, the album, a review called it a love letter, and I'm thinking, what? No, these two songs that you just mentioned from their 2019 album, those two songs are love letters to their wives. This album, the album, this is like the most, if I got a love letter that resembled any of these songs, I would be like, oh, try that again.
Right. Write it when you're not high.
Write it when you're not horny. I don't know. Write it.
Yeah. Like, it's not charming. It's not sweet. It's not romantic. Here's the best thing I can say about it. When I listened to the album, I thought, you know, it does sound like they are talking about their relationships with their wives. It does sound adult and like they know what they're saying about, you know, their relationships. I wouldn't say it's particularly romantic. Now, that being said, I don't know the ins and outs of all their relationships. I do imagine that Joe and Sophie are kind of that like flirty, goofy, you know,
raunchy
sexual innuendo couple. So maybe that's authentic to them. And that's not, you know, for me to judge. But as a listener, I don't read it as romantic. It's just, I don't know.
It just sounds like you're trying to stay hip and you're trying to prove that you're cool and trying to catch a young audience.
Yeah.
Trying to make some summer party songs. I mean, it's not like party, but look, I like it. It's fun to listen to. The more I've listened to it, the more it's growing on me. So I will continue to listen to it.
Sure.
But I am disappointed and I expect more from them. And Ethan pointed out, our producer pointed out, like Summer in the Hamptons. And then you've got a song called Waffle House, and you're trying to sound like you are people who frequent Waffle House, but you are also trying to compare something to the Hamptons as if your common listeners know what that experience is like.
Like, that's true.
Are you a man of the people or not? Because it sounds like you're not. Okay.
No, that's actually super true. And I feel like that's one of those things where it was like, okay, here's a way to be relatable and talk about the Waffle House. Oh, that brings me to another song on here, Americana.
Mm-hmm.
The song is called Americana. The first line is blue jeans and marijuana.
Huh.
That's the best you could come up with for Americana?
Like, it's just offensive.
It's just offensive. It's like, okay, that may be realistic for a lot of people. That's
and
fine,
ooh, full circle. Mm-hmm. So they have this song, Americana, where they're trying to kind of paint this little picture of America. It feels like they're striving, trying hard to like sound again like a man of the people. We're just one of you guys, Americans. Like, but they sound semi out of touch. The Night Game has a song called American Nights.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to a song that paints a picture of America, listen to American Nights by The Night Game. It is so much more poetic and authentic, and it just paints real accurate, nice, pretty. Like, man, we could talk about every single one of these songs one at a time, break things down, talk about their past albums and past songs. I have things in mind, I would say, but we don't have the time for that. Instagram at Talkative Radio. Facebook.com/talkativemagazine, or you can find us on the News Talk STL website. We are here every Sunday, a part of SR1 Sundays at 10 p.m.
Talkative Magazine on air.
This is SR1.